Let's turn to John chapter 1. I'm saved and I know it. How about you? Amen. Amen. John chapter 1. I've been speaking recently about the mystery of life, the mystery of death, the mystery of God, the mystery of heaven, the mystery of the devil, the mystery of hell. Let's talk about the mystery of Christ. You stop and think about these different subjects I'm talking about. And there's a great God behind all of it. In John Gospel, chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Think about that verse, what that verse says. The same was in the beginning with God. And the Word was made flesh, verse 14 says. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Loving God, thank you for the Word. Thank you not only for the Word that was made flesh, but thank you for the Word of God that we have today that we can open up and read, thus saith the Lord. That we have the truth. That we have the revelation of God's mind to give us direction in life, the very wisdom of God Himself. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for all the blessings of life. Indeed, we must testify God is good. Bless each one that's gathered here. Bless those unable to be in church here or anywhere else, because there are many in such a way. And God, have mercy on those who have no interest in their own soul or in the things of Christ. God, have mercy. For Jesus' sake, we pray. Amen. Is there a greater mystery than God becoming a man? The word Christ means the anointed one. And in the Hebrew, it means Messiah. Christ is God's Messiah. A mystery is something that's difficult or impossible to understand or to explain. When I was a young boy back in the early 50s, we had an old radio. And I think it came on about 5 o'clock in the evenings. And I think it came on every day, 5 days a week. It was a program called I Love the Mystery. It was Jack, Doc, and Reggie. I even remember their names. And it was kind of like a detective type show. And we used to listen to it enough to learn the names of the characters in it. Some people like to go to the movie and see a mystery, or they like to read a good mystery book. I've never cared too much for that kind of stuff. But I do love God's Word. And learning about this mystery of Jesus Christ, that God Almighty, think of this, folks. Get this clearly in your mind. The Creator of all things become a man. That's awesome. It's awesome, folks. The one that could take nothing and make everything would even consider being a man. But he did. And I'm speaking about the mystery of Christ with you today. One of the reasons the Bible is a mystery to people and hard to understand by so many is because their spiritual eyes have not been opened. Going back to what Brother Chavis said, sometimes when he's up teaching or making a comment about different people got all these odd sayings, it's because their spiritual eyes have not been opened. The Bible says, you ought to mark this verse in your Bible if it's not marked. Turn to 1 Corinthians today in the Word of God. Make sure this verse is really highlighted, because it deals with what I'm just talking about people's spiritual eyes. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, but the natural man, that's the unsaved person, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness under him. Well, I'm as good as that crowd down at the church. You know why they say that? Their spiritual eyes have not been opened. Because their spiritual eyes have not been opened, the Bible says. People's got all kind of things they think about the Bible. And people open up the Bible. Well, I just don't understand it, so I just don't mess with reading it. Well, the reason you don't understand it is because you're unsaved. You're not supposed to understand it. This is God's Word. And the Bible is for God's people. It's really not even written for the unsaved. Did you know that? It's written for God's people. And God's people are supposed to preach it and teach it to the unsaved. So they'll get saved. That's what happened to me. That's what happened to every one of y'all that's saved. Who can understand or comprehend how God was in Christ? Listen to this. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:19. God Almighty, yet God become a man, but yet God the Father was in Christ reconciling the world that's separated from God on its way to hell, but God sent Christ, God was in Christ to bring the world of mankind back to himself, because man is lost and undone and needs salvation. And God loves everybody. I don't care how wicked they are, how mean they are, and how long they've been that way. He loves them, every one, as much as he loves you. In John 1:11, he came to his own, and his own received him not. That's one of the most pitiful verses that's in the Bible. Jesus came to the Jewish people. He himself was a Jew, and his own people did not accept him. In Ephesians 1:4, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy. You and I are to live holy today, sanctified, set apart for the Master, and without blame before him in love. That's what Paul wrote in Ephesians 1:4. Before God even made the world, he chose us to be his people. How could he do that? Because he knew the decision you'd make concerning his son. I don't think God arbitrarily just said, I'm going to save you and you and you and you and not you and you and you. I think God left it up. You decide who you want to be saved. And God knows. Do you want to be saved? Well, you choose his son and he'll save you. God's not going to force anybody. He respects people's will. What have you done with Jesus? Well, you decided yourself. In 1 Peter 1:20, these are verses you ought to have marked in your Bible because they're the real good stuff. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Jesus Christ was foreordained before God made the world that he'd be a lamb, the Lamb of God, that would come into the world and save us from our sin. God ordained that. God planned that to make it better understood. This is the will of God, or it was the will of God, that Jesus Christ would be a sacrificial lamb to die the most horrible of all deaths. Because it would take that kind of a death to rescue a sinner. John 17:24. Father, Jesus prayed in his high priestly prayer, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me. Listen to this. Where I am, he wants us to be with him. Do you want to be with him? That they may behold my glory. Think about seeing all the glory of Jesus Christ. You might have seen some nice places, but they're trash dumps according to what he's got. Amen? Amen? Don't you go to sleep back there. I put that in the bulletin to make you be aware. Don't you go to sleep. That they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. One of the preachers we heard last night or this morning, one, said that God loved his son. But God loves us just as much as he loved his son. Wow. Let me ask you something. Do you love your neighbor's son as much as you love yours? No, I can answer it. You might want to, but you can't. But God loves you as much as he loves Jesus. Isn't that awesome? What a mystery! What a God that could love something like me. God from past eternity ordained that his only son would become a man to die. To die. For the sins of mankind. The mystery of Jesus Christ being a sacrifice. Sacrificial lamb to save my soul and your soul and any soul that will accept him. That's awesome, folks. It's awesome. From these verses, we see the love of God for all people. God loves everybody. God so loved the world. That includes everybody. How deadly sin is. Did you know that world outside of this building don't know how deadly sin is? Sin is deadlier than a rattlesnake, folks. What spiritual blind man who is dead in his sin does not realize is the awfulness and the wickedness of his sin against God. God is holy. He is the Holy One. All holiness proceeds from God, the Holy One. Even the angels are only holy because God made them holy. Only you are a holy person if Christ has washed you in His blood. God is holy, and He cannot and will not tolerate any sin. There's no such thing with God as a little white lie or stretching the truth. Isn't this awesome? In Psalms 99 and verse 9, the Bible says, "For the Lord our God is holy." H-O-L-Y. He's a holy God. He's always been holy. He'll always be holy because He's holy. He's not the purest one. He is the pure one. And there's a distinction in that, if you'll think about it. Sin separates man from God, and to be separated from God is death. Isaiah 59 and verse 2, "Behold, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear." I tell you what, we got a lot of people today that think they're buddy-buddy with God, but they're not. You can't be buddy-buddy with God. God's holy, folks. We better not get too casual with God. Think you've reached such a spiritual level that you're a buddy-buddy with God. No. God is holy. So the love and the mercy and the grace of God is going to provide through Christ salvation for sinful man who repents of their sin and trusts Jesus, the Son of God, as their Savior. So salvation is qualified by honestly accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior. And in order to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have to repent. And repent means a change of mind. You got to have a change of mind about Christ. He's the Savior. You're the sinner. I like what Romans 5:20 says in the last part of that verse. "But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." I want you to get a vision of this morning. Listen to me. I want you to vision this country of ours and this world of ours. And I want you to just consider all this hate, all this division, all this adultery, fornication, lust, pride, all of that goes with those various sins that you can conjure up. That's God sees. But God's grace can forgive every one of those people and make them whiter than snow through Jesus Christ. What a mystery. That's grace. That's the grace of God. And that's what God wants to do. That God let His Son die for that very purpose, that everybody could be saved. Because God saw what sin done to the human family. And so that's why God became a man by the name of Jesus, the Christ. God's invisible. Nobody's ever seen God. When we get to heaven, will we see God the Father? I don't know. Oh, I've read what learned men have said about that, and a lot of them are like me. Most of them are honest enough to say, I don't know. But we're going to see Jesus. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's going to satisfy me. Amen? I'm going to be satisfied. Amen? No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son. And listen to this. Talking about the mystery now. You ought to have this verse, Vart. It's important. Listen to this verse. Which is the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. Where's the bosom at? Huh? Look at me. Where's the bosom? Where's Jesus? In the bosom of the Father. Wow. Wow. He hath declared him. Jesus came from the bosom of the Father. We would say it in our English, he came from the heart of God, didn't he? Why did he come from the heart of God? God gave us his best to rescue us. In eternity past, Jesus was in the bosom of God the Father. He was a member of the triune Godhead of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now God is going to become man and visible in Jesus Christ. He's going to become man and visible. I just kind of envy the 12 disciples that they could see God walking about for over 3 years. Does that intrigue you, brother? That they could see God Almighty. I'm talking about the Creator walking about. And he could heal. He could still the tempest. He could open blinded eyes. The lame could walk. He even raised the dead. They got to see that. And yet we had one of them betray him after seeing all that. How do we comprehend the eternal God who would become a man like all of us except without sin? How can we comprehend that? He would experience life just like me and you. He got hungry. He got thirsty. He got tired. He even needed to sleep. We find him asleep one time in the boat. Amen? In Luke 1, 30 and 31, it tells us about this great mystery happening. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." What a mystery that God Almighty could and would become a man even as all other men, and come into the world as a little baby. God was a baby one day in Jesus Christ. And he had the same needs as you mothers have had babies. Jesus had the same needs. Required the same attention as any other baby. Isn't that amazing? What a mystery. I like to read Philippians chapter 2. And I'd encourage you to turn there. In Philippians chapter 2 verse 6 we read about Jesus, who being in the form of God, that's in the past, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Talking about God. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. What a passage of Scripture that tells us about how Christ deliberately humbled himself to be a human And not only to be a human, but to be a sacrifice, to be hung on a cross to save me. And it took that to save me, to save you. There's no other shortcut. If there'd have been another shortcut, God would have provided it. The Messiah in 1 Timothy 2:5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." You cannot go straight to God and talk to God, because God won't listen to you. He's not obligated to listen to you. If you go to God, you got to go through Jesus. He's the mediator. Why is that, preacher? Because God is holy and you and I are not. We need a mediator. Jesus Christ, God's Son, become a man. He knows how we are. He paid for our sin, and now He represents us to the Father. Amen? That's the reason religions are no good. Religions can't save you. You got to have a mediator. Christ is the only mediator. He's the one that paid for our sin. He has satisfied God. God is satisfied now. How do I know that, preacher? Because God raised you from the dead. That's why. God raised him from the dead to prove he accepted the death of Christ in my place and in your place. The mystery of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for teaching me these things. Why does man need a mediator? Because of the holiness of God. God is a holy God. And you and I can't even imagine it. Sinful man cannot interact with holy God. Remember when the angels with Lucifer rebelled? What happened to those angels who were once holy? Immediately they were cast out. Well, if those angels was cast out, what about us? Now, God has not made any kind of way to bring salvation to the angels, but He did to us sinners. He did for us sinners. You see, the angels lived in His presence. They knew Him. They saw Him. They interacted with Him. But it weren't that way with mankind. I'll tell you what, this plan of salvation is something else, folks. It's something else. Our God is a consuming fire. Did you know that? That's what the writer of Hebrews says in 12:29. If you check out the scriptures all the way back in Deuteronomy, it says the very same thing. Our God is a consuming fire. What does that mean? He's holy. He's holy. Man's sin, and only a man who has not a sin can approach God and intervene for mankind. That's why Christ came, died, paid for all of our sin. God has allowed His only Son to take our place. Pay our debt. Now you think about how much God loves His Son. And didn't He let His Son suffer like His Son suffered? Our forgiveness is based upon trusting God's Son as our Savior. That's how we get forgiveness and salvation. We don't have to do a thing. He even gives us the faith to believe it. Amen? We don't contribute nothing. You know, and I don't have anything God wants. And when He saves you, He makes you a new person. You're not even your same self. How about them crackers? Because He can't accept the old you. I'm just preaching the truth. In Romans 5:12, wherefore is but one man sin entering into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Surprisingly and amazingly, all means everybody. Amen. Amen. Think of this. God is going to allow his precious son to become that cursed thing, sin. When Jesus is hanging on the cross, he's going to suddenly have all of our guilt of the whole world, of the whole human family, from Adam to the last person. All of our sin is going to be transferred, put on Jesus. And Jesus is going to be that cursed thing in the sight of God. And then the wrath of God, the wrath of God is going to fall on him. Jesus dreaded that time immensely. That's why when he was in the Garden of Eden before he was crucified, he was praying so hard his sweat was like drops of blood. And he was praying and he cried out to God saying, if thou be willing, remove this from me, that I don't have to go through this. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You see, there was no other way for me to be saved or for you than for Jesus to become that cursed thing, sin. There was no other way. Money would not get rid of sin, would not pay the debt. I want each of us to consider and picture in our minds God taking all of your sin and disobedience and putting it over on his only son. Your pride, your selfishness, your lust, your greed, etc. All of them, and putting it on Jesus. That's what happened. That's what happened. Then God the Father poured out his wrath on his son so you wouldn't experience God's wrath. When God poured out his wrath on his son, Jesus, listen to this carefully. Listen to me. When God poured out his wrath on his son, Jesus experienced all the hell of the lake of fire for eternity for all sinners as he hung on that cross. That's how horrible it was for Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was not kept from all that suffering, that sinners suffer in hell. Jesus Christ experienced hell in the lake of fire for eternity. How could he do that then? Because of who he was. He's God. As God, he could pay the sin debt and satisfy God. Jesus Christ knows what it's like to be in hell forever to save you. Y'all understand what I'm saying? He were up there hanging on a cross and everything was nice. He suffered. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, how much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation when Adam sinned, judgment came on all of the human family. So even by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God, the same wrath that fell on Jesus, will fall on the sinner that rejects Christ. Because they have no Savior. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he's not believed in the only begotten name of the Son of God. John 3:36 states. Why would God love me so much? Don't ask me to answer that. The only thing I can say is to God, you are important. Because he made you. He made you in his image. That's why you're important. Why would God allow his only son to suffer such an awful death? Because he loves you that much. You're loved that much. Why didn't God have another way to save us rather than Jesus dying? Why? There weren't no other way. You know what? You are scarcely saved. And the Bible says so. If the righteous scarcely or barely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? You're barely saved. If you're saved, the only difference is the blood's been applied by faith in Jesus Christ. Who could ever understand the mystery of Christ dying so sinners could be saved? Do you know what? The angels are astounded at it. They're astounded at it because they know when other angels sin, what happened to them. And they've seen man has sinned, and yet they see what God is doing for sinful man through Christ, his Son. And they're astounded at the grace of God. You better be sure you're saved. Dying without salvation is going to be the biggest mistake of anybody's life. There's no second chances. The mystery of Christ becoming a man is the wisdom of God in action to provide salvation to all who are willing to repent of their sin and trust his Son as their Savior. God thinks so much of his Son that if you deny his Son the way his Son suffered, God's going to see that you're thrown into hell. To put it bluntly. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? If not, why not? Why not? With such love for your soul, why not trust Christ? Why risk going to hell when there's forgiveness offered to you by just saying, Lord, I'm that sinner Jesus died for. And I want you to save me. You know what? The devil will do all he can to keep anybody from saying, yes, Lord, I am that sinner. I want you to save me. You know, I've been there years ago. I know the fight. You know the fight if you're saved. Have you been saved? The sins you've been paid for. The ball's in your court now. What you going to do with Jesus? What you going to do with Jesus? If you've been saved, come talk to him at the altar this morning. If you need to be saved, hey, come. Come and we'll help you get to know the Lord. Amen? You know somebody that needs to be saved? Why don't you come pray for them at the altar? Hey, as a church, we got to be concerned about lost people, folks. We got to be concerned about lost people. The Lord God was so concerned, he sent his son to die for them. We got to be concerned. The Lord is here today. And the Lord is looking and observing today. He knows what's going on in your life. There need to be some changes made in your life. The Lord says if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us. Not just forgive us, but cleanse us, folks. Amen? You know, we can live every day of our life in a manner pleasing the Lord if we'll just constantly confess when we fail the Lord. Love the Lord. Share the Lord. Enjoy the Lord. You won't ever regret it. What a mystery. The mystery that God Almighty became a man in the person of Jesus Christ, the Savior. He's the only Savior. Loving God, thank you for loving us so much. Look upon us today, Lord. See our helplessness. See our need. See our desires. Oh God, stir us up. Lord, here I am, I use me. May we all pray. May we all pray, Lord, here am I, use me to help get out the gospel to share Christ. Lord, make us a blessing as we love you and praise you and serve you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.